A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a classic Israeli apartment puzzle. He's moving into a place that has a tiny outdoor nook, basically a miniature balcony, about 130 by 100 centimeters, with 3 meters of height, accessible only through a window, roughly a meter off the ground. One side is exposed to the outdoors, and the space is authorized for storage. The question is whether this space can actually store anything useful, and more importantly, how to create an efficient system for getting in and out, without it feeling like a hostage extraction every time. He's thinking maybe a retractable mini stepladder on both sides. There's a lot to unpack here, literally and figuratively.
This is one of those problems that sounds absurdly specific until you've lived in an Israeli apartment, and then it's just Tuesday. The window access nook. I've seen these. They're usually what happens when a building's facade has a recess and someone said, well, we can't call it a room, so let's call it storage and move on.
The architectural equivalent of shrugging and saying, shelu shlishi. It's a third-party problem now.
Here's the thing. 130 by 100 centimeters with 3 meters of height is actually not nothing. That's about 1.3 square meters of floor space and nearly 4 cubic meters of volume. The access is the bottleneck, not the capacity.
The window being a meter off the ground is the real constraint. That's high enough to be awkward, but low enough that you can't just treat it like a loft hatch. It's the ergonomic uncanny valley of entry points.
Let's break this down into two problems. One, what can actually live in that space given that one side is open to the elements? Two, how do you get to it without making it a twice-a-year expedition that you dread?
Let's start with what survives out there. One side exposed to outdoors. That means direct sun, rain, wind, dust. We're talking about an Israeli climate, so summer temperatures on a balcony like that could easily hit 50-55 degrees Celsius on the surface of anything stored there.
The UV degradation is brutal. I've seen plastic storage bins turn to shrapnel within 2 summers. High-density polyethylene with UV stabilization is the baseline. Polypropylene without UV inhibitors will crumble.
No cardboard boxes full of sentimental letters.
And nothing organic, no fabrics, no paper, no wood that isn't specifically treated for exterior use. The humidity cycle alone will warp and mold anything porous. What you can store, tools, camping gear in sealed containers, seasonal equipment, empty Euroboxes themselves, spare tiles, plumbing supplies, paint cans. Though paint doesn't love extreme heat either.
The Eurobox system he already uses is actually perfect for this, assuming they're the heavy-duty ones. Stackable, standardized, and if they're the proper industrial ones, they've got UV stabilizers.
The standard Euro container, the 40 by 30 by 22 centimeter ones, you could fit about 6 of those on the floor in a 2 by 3 grid and then stack them up. With 3 meters of height, you could go 4 or 5 high depending on weight. That's 24 to 30 boxes. That's real storage.
You need to get to the ones at the back and the ones at the top. Which brings us to the access problem.
This is where the retractable ladder idea gets interesting. Let me walk through what Daniel suggested. A mini step ladder on both sides, one inside the apartment and one in the nook itself. I think there's a more elegant way to think about this.
Before you redesign it, what's wrong with the two-ladder approach?
Nothing fundamentally wrong, but you're duplicating equipment and you're still doing a ladder transition through a window, which is awkward at best and dangerous at worst. Picture it. You climb a stepladder inside, swing one leg over the windowsill, find the ladder on the other side with your foot while balancing, and transfer your weight. That's a maneuver that requires 3 points of contact and a certain amount of faith.
Like a low-budget parkour sequence, where the stunt double is an exhausted parent looking for the menorah in July.
The window itself becomes a pinch point. The sill is going to take all your weight during the transition. Most Israeli window frames aren't designed for that kind of lateral load.
What's better?
I think the optimal solution depends on how often he needs to access the space. If it's seasonal, say 4 times a year to swap out summer and winter gear, then a single well-designed platform step inside the apartment plus a permanent step or two in the nook itself might be enough.
If it's more frequent,
then we want something integrated. My top recommendation would be a pull-down attic ladder mounted to the interior wall below the window, combined with a fixed platform or steps on the nook side. Attic ladders are designed for exactly this kind of vertical access through a constrained opening, and they're rated for regular use.
Wait, an attic ladder mounted sideways. Those are designed to pull down from a ceiling hatch.
They're designed to unfold in a downward direction, but the mechanism doesn't care about orientation. You'd mount it to the wall below the window so it unfolds outward into the room, giving you steps up to window height. When you're done, it folds flat against the wall. The better models have handrails and slip-resistant treads.
You're essentially treating the window like a vertical attic hatch. That's clever.
The key measurements, the window is a meter off the ground, so you need about 3 or 4 steps to reach it comfortably. A standard attic ladder section is typically around 60 to 70 centimeters wide, which would fit. The unfolded length to reach 1 meter high is maybe 1.2 meters out into the room, manageable.
On the nook side?
That's where the permanent solution makes sense. Since the nook is only 130 by 100 centimeters, you can't have a ladder taking up floor space. What you want is a set of wall-mounted steps or a compact ship's ladder. Something with a steep angle, almost vertical, but with proper treads.
A ship's ladder in a 130-centimeter balcony nook. The nautical theme is accidental but fitting.
A ship's ladder typically has a 60 to 70 degree angle. For a 1 meter drop, the base would only stick out about 30 to 40 centimeters from the wall. That leaves 90 centimeters of floor space in front of it, still usable for storage access.
You'd want it mounted on the wall opposite the window, I assume, so you step through and immediately have something to step onto.
But here's where we need to talk about the actual geometry. The nook is 130 by 100 centimeters. The window is on one of those walls. You step through, and you're immediately in the space. If the ladder is on the wall directly opposite, you'd be stepping across the 100 centimeter depth to reach it. That's a stretch.
Mounted on the wall perpendicular to the window, right next to the opening.
You step through, turn 90 degrees, and descend. Or even simpler, a single permanent platform step right below the window on the nook side, about 40 centimeters down, and then the floor of the nook is only 60 centimeters below that. At that point, you're basically stepping down 2 standard stair risers. You might not even need a ladder on that side.
That's the kind of simplification that comes from actually measuring instead of imagining. 2 steps, and you're on the floor.
If you want to be precise, standard stair riser height in Israel is about 17 to 18 centimeters. A meter divided by 6 is about 16.5 centimeters per riser. So 6 steps total from the floor inside to the nook floor outside. You could do 4 steps on the interior attic ladder and 2 permanent steps on the nook side.
The whole system is fold down attic ladder on the interior wall, step through the window onto platform 1, step down to platform 2, and you're standing in the nook. That's genuinely usable.
The attic ladder folds away completely flat when not in use. Some models are only about 15 centimeters thick when folded. Painted the same color as the wall, it practically disappears.
Let me push on something. The nook has 1 side exposed to outdoors. Does that mean it's essentially a balcony with 3 walls and no roof on 1 side? Or is it more like a recessed alcove where 1 vertical wall is open?
The prompt says it's a small balcony, 1 side exposed. I'm reading that as probably the outward-facing side, so it's like a very deep, very narrow balcony recessed into the building with the long side open to the air. That means rain can blow in, dust will accumulate, and birds will absolutely consider it prime real estate.
Of course there are birds.
Which means whatever storage system you use needs lids. Tight-fitting lids. And ideally, the whole setup should be cleanable. You need to be able to sweep or hose out accumulated dust and debris. If you build permanent shelving, leave a gap at the bottom or use open grate shelving so water and dirt don't pool.
We're talking about industrial shelving, not built-in cabinetry.
Heavy-duty galvanized steel or aluminum shelving units. The kind used in commercial kitchens or warehouses. They're designed to handle moisture, they don't warp, and they're modular. You can get them in depths of 30, 40, or 50 centimeters. For a 130 by 100 centimeter space, you'd probably want shelving on the 2 side walls, leaving the center as an access aisle.
Aisle is a generous word for what would be maybe 60 centimeters of standing room.
Welcome to Israeli spatial semantics. We call a meter-wide strip a hallway and a broom closet a bedroom. 60 centimeters of standing room is practically a foyer.
The thing about shelving on both sides is you then need to reach everything from the center. If the shelves are 40 centimeters deep on each side, you've got 50 centimeters of aisle. That's tight, but workable if you're not doing gymnastics.
With 3 meters of height, you could do 5 or 6 shelf levels. Let's do the math. 2 walls, each 130 centimeters wide, 5 shelves each, that's 13 meters of shelf edge. Even accounting for the ladder access zone, you're looking at 10 to 11 usable meters of shelf space. That's more storage than some kitchen pantries.
The answer to, can this space store anything useful, is yes, absolutely. It can store quite a lot, if you solve the access and weatherproofing correctly.
The access solution we're converging on, fold-down attic ladder inside, 2 permanent steps in the nook, industrial shelving on both sides, Euro boxes with gasketed lids, is probably the most cost-effective and least invasive approach. No structural modifications needed, everything is off the shelf.
Let's talk about alternatives, though, because there's always the over-engineered version that someone's cousin's friend swears by.
I was waiting for this. What's the over-engineered version?
The motorized vertical lift. You build a platform that rides on 2 guide rails, like a mini freight elevator, operated by a hand crank winch or a small electric motor. You load it up inside the apartment, crank it up to window height, slide the boxes through, and lower it down in the nook.
That's absurd, and I love it. But the cost and complexity...
Oh, it's completely impractical. But if you're storing heavy things and going in and out frequently, there's a case for mechanizing the lift portion. The window is still the bottleneck. You still have to transfer items through it, but at least you're not carrying boxes up and down ladders.
The practical middle ground is probably a simple pulley system with a cargo net or a platform. Mount a beam or a heavy-duty hook above the window on the nook side, run a rope through a pulley, and you can hoist boxes up from inside, push them through, and lower them down. That handles the heavy lifting without requiring electricity or custom fabrication.
A block and tackle rated for 100 kilos costs maybe 150 shekels, versus a motorized lift which would be thousands and require an electrician.
The block and tackle doesn't break in a way that requires a specialist to fix. But honestly, for most use cases, the ladder and shelving approach is going to be the sweet spot. The question is really about frequency of access and weight of items.
Let's talk about the window itself. If you're going through it regularly, the sill is going to take wear. Most Israeli windows are aluminum frame with a stone or tile sill on the interior side. The exterior side might be just plastered concrete.
You'd want to protect the sill. A piece of aluminum angle or a wooden saddle that bridges the sill and distributes weight would prevent chipping and wear. Something you can remove if you're not using the space heavily.
The window itself. If it's a standard tilting or sliding window, you need it fully open every time. That might mean removing the screen, or at least making it easily removable. Israeli window screens are usually the roll-up kind, which is actually convenient because they retract fully into the housing.
If the window has a handle or locking mechanism that protrudes into the opening, that becomes a snag point when you're climbing through with boxes. Worth checking and potentially replacing with a low-profile handle.
The details really pile up on a project like this. It's never just one thing.
That's the nature of constrained space solutions. The ladder placement affects the shelving layout, which affects the access aisle, which affects what you can store where. You kind of have to design the whole system at once.
Let's spec this out properly. Inside the apartment, a fold-down attic ladder, wall-mounted below the window, about 60 centimeters wide with 4 steps. When folded, it sits flat against the wall, ideally one with a handrail.
Look for models rated for at least 150 kilos. You want the capacity for you plus whatever you're carrying. Brands like Fakro or Dole make compact attic ladders, though availability in Israel might require some searching. Alternatively, a custom metal fabricator could build one. Israel has no shortage of metal workers.
On the nook side, 2 permanent steps, either wall-mounted steel brackets with tread plates or a compact 2-step unit bolted to the wall. The top step about 40 centimeters below the windowsill. The bottom step another 40 centimeters down, landing you on the nook floor.
if the floor of the nook isn't level, which, given Israeli construction standards, is a real possibility, you'll want adjustable feet on anything you put down there. Shelving units with leveling feet are standard in commercial equipment.
For the shelving, 2 units, one on each side wall, galvanized steel, 40 centimeters deep, with 5 or 6 levels. Bolt them to the wall if possible. In a space that narrow, you don't want a shelf tipping when you bump into it.
Use Euroboxes with gasketed lids. Not just snap-on lids, the kind with a rubber gasket that actually seals. IP-rated if you can find them. They'll keep out dust, insects, and the occasional splash of rain.
Label everything on the side facing the aisle. Nothing worse than pulling down 5 boxes to find the one you need.
A label maker is the unsung hero of any serious storage system. I will die on this hill.
Nobody's contesting the hill. The hill is yours.
There's one more thing I want to mention, which is lighting. If the nook is recessed and has only one open side, it's going to be dim in there even during the day. And if you're accessing it in the evening, you need to see what you're doing.
Battery-powered motion sensor, LED strip. Stick it along the underside of one of the shelves, aimed into the aisle. No wiring needed. Batteries last months with LED efficiency, and it turns on when you climb in.
Or a rechargeable work light that lives on a hook near the window. Grab it, click it on, climb through. Low tech, no installation.
The motion sensor is more satisfying, though. You climb through the window and the space just illuminates. It's the closest thing to a feature this nook is going to have.
You're romanticizing a storage closet.
I'm romanticizing a well-executed system. There's a difference.
Let's talk about what not to do, because I've seen some creative disasters in Israeli apartments.
This should be good.
Don't use plastic shelving. It seems like a good idea. Lightweight, cheap, won't rust, but it degrades in UV and becomes brittle. I've seen a fully loaded plastic shelf unit collapse because the sun had been hitting it for 2 summers and the clips just gave out.
What about wood?
Only if it's properly sealed, and even then, I'd be cautious. The humidity cycling in an outdoor adjacent space will cause swelling and shrinkage. Solid wood warps. If you must use wood, marine-grade plywood with multiple coats of exterior varnish, and expect to refinish it every couple of years.
Steel or aluminum, basically?
Galvanized or powder-coated steel is the value option. Aluminum is lighter and won't rust at all, but it's more expensive and harder to find in shelving units. Stainless steel is overkill unless you're storing something that absolutely cannot risk corrosion.
Don't store anything sensitive to temperature. No electronics, no batteries, no candles that might melt, no pressurized cans that might burst.
Aerosol cans in 50-degree heat. That's a bomb waiting to happen. The pressure inside a spray can at 50 Celsius can exceed the can's rating. Best case, it leaks. Worst case, it ruptures.
No spray paint, no WD-40, no deodorant, no cooking spray.
Basically, if it says store in a cool, dry place on the label, this nook is not that place.
Let's circle back to the retractable ladder idea that Daniel mentioned. I think there's a version of it that actually makes sense if we think about it differently. What if instead of 2 separate ladders, you have a single ladder that lives permanently in the nook, but it's on a sliding track? You pull it toward the window when you need to climb down, push it back against the wall when you're done.
It's not retractable in the folding sense, but retractable in the sliding out of the way sense. A lightweight aluminum ladder on a simple overhead track, like a barn door track, but mounted horizontally. When you need it, you slide it into position below the window. When you don't, it tucks against the back wall and doesn't obstruct the shelving.
That's clever, because it eliminates the need for permanent steps that might block shelf access. The ladder only occupies the aisle when you're actually using it.
You could do the same thing on the interior side. Instead of a fold-down attic ladder, a sliding ladder that tucks to the side of the window when not in use. The advantage is that it doesn't protrude into the room when stored. It just sits flat against the wall beside the window.
The disadvantage is you need wall space on one side of the window for it to slide into. If the window is centered on the wall, that's fine. If it's in a corner, you might not have the clearance.
The fold-down ladder is more space-efficient in terms of wall real estate. The sliding ladder is more space-efficient in terms of floor real estate when stored. Pick your constraint.
I think for most Israeli apartments, floor space trumps wall space. You can always find wall space. Floor space is the precious resource.
So the fold-down attic ladder wins on the interior side. On the Nook side, the sliding ladder might actually be better than fixed steps because it preserves the full aisle when you're not accessing the space.
Though at 130 by 100 centimeters, the aisle barely exists regardless. You're probably just leaning against the shelving while you rummage.
Let me propose something even simpler. What if the Nook side doesn't need a ladder at all? The window is a meter off the interior floor. But what's the drop from the windowsill to the Nook floor? If the Nook floor is at the same level as the interior floor, which it usually is, then the windowsill is also a meter above the Nook floor. That's a significant drop.
You do need something.
What if you raise the floor of the Nook? Build a deck. Essentially, a false floor. That brings the Nook floor up to about 40 centimeters below the windowsill. Now the drop is just a single step. You lose the lower portion of the height for storage, but you gain a much more accessible space.
You gain underfloor storage. A raised deck with hinged panels gives you a whole additional layer of storage that's protected from direct sun and rain.
You'd build a frame from aluminum or treated lumber, deck it with marine plywood or composite decking boards, and put hinged lids on sections. Below deck storage is great for things you rarely need. Holiday decorations, spare parts, archived documents, and sealed containers.
The 3-meter height becomes 2.6 meters of above deck space, which is still more than enough for shelving. And you've eliminated the ladder problem on the Nook side entirely. It's now a single step down.
You'd need to make sure the deck is properly supported and doesn't trap water. Elevate it slightly on feet, leave gaps for drainage, and use materials that can handle moisture.
This is starting to sound like the most elegant solution. Raise the floor, add shelving, use a fold-down attic ladder on the inside, and you've got a functional storage space that doesn't require acrobatics to access.
It's all reversible. Nothing is permanently attached to the building in a way that would require a contractor to undo. If you move out, you disassemble the deck, patch a few screw holes, and the Nook is back to its original useless state.
The landlord-friendly storage Nook conversion. There's a niche market.
Let's talk about another option that nobody thinks of but works surprisingly well, the vertical storage carousel. They make these for kitchens and workshops, essentially a rotating rack system where you pull items around in a loop.
Like a dry cleaning conveyor, but for Euroboxes.
It's a vertical loop with shelves or bins attached. You rotate it until the bin you want is at the access point. They're designed for deep, narrow spaces exactly like this. The whole unit might be only 40 centimeters wide, but 2 meters tall, holding dozens of bins.
I've seen those in industrial supply catalogs. They're not cheap.
They're not. A decent vertical carousel system runs a few thousand shekels. But for a space that's awkward to physically enter, a system that brings items to you through the window is game-changing. You'd mount it inside the Nook, positioned so the access point aligns with the window, and you'd rotate it from inside the apartment.
You're never actually entering the Nook at all. You stand inside, crank the carousel, grab what you need through the window.
It transforms the Nook from a walk-in closet to a vending machine. The access problem disappears entirely because you're not accessing the space. You're accessing the items through the window.
That's a fundamentally different philosophy. You're not trying to make the space habitable. You're treating it as a machine that stores and retrieves.
For a space this small, it might actually be the right philosophy. 130 by 100 centimeters is barely a closet. Trying to make it a walk-in anything is an exercise in frustration. But as a machine, as a dense, automated, or semi-automated storage module, it's perfectly dimensioned.
The carousel approach also solves the weatherproofing problem differently. You only need to weatherproof the carousel mechanism itself, which is an engineering problem with known solutions. The items in the carousel are protected by the enclosure.
If you enclose the carousel entirely, essentially build a weatherproof cabinet that fills the Nook, you've turned an outdoor storage problem into an indoor storage problem. The cabinet takes the weather. The contents stay dry.
At that point, we're talking about a custom outdoor cabinet, basically. A tall, narrow, weatherproof box that fits the Nook dimensions and has a door facing the window.
That might be the simplest high-end solution. Order a custom aluminum or stainless steel cabinet. Israel has plenty of fabricators who do this for industrial kitchens and outdoor applications, sized exactly to the Nook. Put shelves or drawers inside. Access it through the window using a step stool or the attic ladder.
How much would something like that cost?
for a custom weatherproof aluminum cabinet, roughly 130 by 100 by 250 centimeters, somewhere in the range of 3,000 to 5,000 shekels, depending on the fabricator and the features. More if you want gas struts on the doors or integrated lighting.
It's not cheap, but it's permanent, and it solves all the problems at once. Weatherproofing, access, organization.
It adds value to the apartment, arguably. If I'm a prospective renter and I see a professionally built outdoor storage cabinet on the balcony nook, I'm impressed. If I see a pile of moldy cardboard boxes, I'm not.
The resume builds a storage solution. Your landlord will never appreciate it, but the next tenant might.
Let's talk about one more thing that gets overlooked in these projects, the psychological aspect. A storage space that's hard to access becomes a black hole. You put things in, you never take them out, and 5 years later you've forgotten what's in there. It's not storage, it's a landfill with a window.
The out of sight, out of mind problem is real. If accessing the nook requires setting up a ladder, climbing through a window, and contorting yourself into a tiny space, you're going to do it exactly twice. Once when you move in, and once when you move out.
Which is why the access solution isn't just about convenience. It's about whether the storage actually functions as storage. If the friction is too high, the space might as well not exist.
The design brief is, make access so easy that you actually use the space. The attic ladder and raised floor approach does that. The carousel approach does that even more so. The two-ladder scramble does not.
It's worth spending money on this. People will spend thousands of shekels on furniture and appliances, but balk at spending $1,000 on a proper storage system. But the storage system determines whether your apartment is livable or cluttered. It's infrastructure, not decoration.
The invisible backbone of domestic sanity.
And in Israeli apartments, where square footage is at a premium, every cubic meter of storage you can wring out of the architecture is worth its weight in reduced marital tension.
Nothing says Shalom Bayit like knowing where the Pesach dishes are.
To summarize the practical recommendations, option 1, the budget-friendly approach, fold down attic ladder inside, two permanent steps in the nook, galvanized steel shelving, Euro boxes with gaskets. Total cost may be 800 to 1500 shekels depending on materials and whether you DIY the installation.
Option 2, the raised floor approach. Add a deck that brings the nook floor up to 40 centimeters below the windowsill, plus shelving above, plus the attic ladder inside. More work, more materials, but a more elegant result. Maybe 2,000 to 3,000 shekels?
Option 3, the cabinet approach. Custom weatherproof aluminum cabinet that fills the nook, accessed through the window. 3,000 to 5,000 shekels, but it's the most weatherproof and lowest maintenance.
Option 4, the carousel. Vertical storage carousel positioned so it rotates to the window. Most expensive, probably 5,000 to 8,000 shekels, but it eliminates the need to enter the nook entirely.
There's an option 5, which is the pulley and platform system for heavy items, combined with any of the above for lighter stuff. But that's an add-on, not a standalone solution.
I think for most people, option 1 or 2 is going to be the sweet spot. The carousel is brilliant, but hard to justify unless you're storing a lot of small items and accessing them frequently.
And one thing I want to emphasize, whatever you do, do it before you move in. Setting up a storage system in an empty apartment is annoying. Setting it up once you're living there and have boxes everywhere is a nightmare.
The pre-move-in window is sacred. Use it wisely.
Measure everything 3 times. The nook dimensions, the window dimensions, the clearance around the window, the height from floor to sill on both sides. Nothing worse than building a beautiful system that doesn't fit through the window.
Measure once, curse twice, buy a third time. The Israeli handyman's motto.
I'd add one more recommendation. If you're not confident in your DIY skills, hire someone. A decent handyman or metal fabricator can build and install the whole system in a day or two. The labor cost is modest compared to the cost of doing it wrong and having to redo it.
You'll actually use the space, which is the whole point. A storage nook that stores things you can retrieve is an asset. A storage nook that becomes a graveyard for things you've forgotten is just a very small, very hot museum of your past decisions.
The Museum of Abandoned Hobbies. Every Israeli apartment has one, usually in the form of a maksan or a basement compartment.
The Maksan is a whole other episode. Those underground cages in the parking garage deserve their own dedicated analysis.
They really do. The humidity alone...
We'll save it. For now, I think we've given a pretty thorough answer. The space is absolutely usable. The access problem is solvable with off-the-shelf components, and the key is to treat it as a system rather than a dumping ground.
Don't underestimate the psychological barrier. Make it easy to access, or you won't access it. That's the difference between storage and a hole in the wall.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1940s, the Seychelles briefly became an unexpected transshipment point for African Sahel salt, because wartime shipping disruptions forced French West African traders to reroute through Indian Ocean ports, inadvertently seeding the Seychelles' first commercial salt drying operation, which collapsed within a decade when Mediterranean routes reopened.
The Seychelles almost became a salt empire because of a wartime detour.
A brief, salty moment in the sun.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. We're at myweirdprompts.com and on Telegram. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. May your storage be accessible and your Euro boxes never crumble.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.